In 1976, El Paso's Eastwood High School was one of the largest schools in the state, and its basketball team had a history-making season which led all the way to a state championship. The background and details of this incredible season are woven together in a new documentary by Charlie Minn called March of the Troopers. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Charlie Minn is a prolific documentary filmmaker whose latest film, March of the Troopers, received its world premiere last night in El Paso. I'm delighted to have Charlie Minn back on the program this morning. Good morning, Charlie.
Good to see you again, Chuck.
Great to have you back in El Paso, and congratulations on your premiere.
Thank you.
I wanted to say right off the top, some listeners may remember you from previous shows. You've been here to promote and discuss three of your films in the past about the life and really the violence that was going on in our sister city of Juarez. This latest film is quite a departure from that theme, going back to 1976 to a basketball championship. What made you want to tell this story?
Well, I'm a huge sports fan, mm-hmm. and I used to work as a sports journalist, and it's a great relief from all the torture of the Juarez tragedy, yes. Making films about that.
Certainly a more uplifting
yeah,
story.
Yeah, exactly. Sports is a big part of my life. It's a great escape. Mm-hmm. And the thing that attracted me to this story was the rarity of it. Mm-hmm. This has not happened since. A state title by an El Paso high school in basketball since the Troopers in 1976. I can't sit here and tell you that it may happen again. I mean, mm-hmm. it's so difficult, almost impossible. And here we are 37 years and counting. It's a drought that I would like to see go away. I'd love to see an El Paso high school breakthrough. But it may not happen again. It's that difficult.
And this was really a highlight in the city's life. I mean, the whole city came together around this championship and these boys and young men who were on the team became celebrities overnight. And something that you parallel in your film is 10 years before the 1966 right. Texas Western NCAA championship as well, and the connections between that, the inspiration that came from that with these kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallel between the two. Here you have the 66 Texas Western team. That's the number one sports moment in El Paso sports history. And I would go as far as saying Eastwood might be number two because of how difficult it is to win a title in the state of Texas because there are so many teams. Eastwood had to beat out about 250 high schools to win a state title. But, yeah, we talk about the parallel between the two titles with Don Haskins. Mm-hmm. The coach of Eastwood, Bobby Leslie, played for Haskins at Headley High School in Headley, Texas.
Right.
Played for him at Texas Western. Mm-hmm. Three of the players from the Eastwood team, Daryl Mollick, Tim Crenshaw, and Jim Bowden, played for Haskins at UTEP.
Yes.
So we talk about the two titles and compare them. And a lot of the 76 Eastwood boys, they grew up motivated and inspired by the 66 title. And who would have thought they would become champions 10 years later?
Well, to me, as a non-sports fan, that was the one of the fascinating parts of the film for me is seeing how the ripple effect of that 66 championship inspired these young boys who had played most of their lives together, I guess, was one of part of the backstory of why they became champions is they just knew each other so well and had been playing forever. But the fact that they were probably 8, 9, 10 mm-hmm. when that 66 championship occurred, and then they went on to continue to play basketball. And that the coach, you mentioned Leslie, probably would not have been in El Paso to coach that Eastwood team if it hadn't been for Haskins.
Yeah, I mean, the influence Haskins had on Bobby Leslie was pretty extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, the chances of Haskins being your high school coach and then your coach again in college, I mean, what are the chances of that? And another one of Leslie's teammates at Texas Western was Nolan Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And Nolan's in the movie, as is Mary Haskins.
Yes.
Mary talks about the Eastwood players. And Tim Floyd,
yeah.
The current head coach here at UTEP, he was the assistant coach at UTEP from 1977 to 1986. He was just a kid. I think he was 23 years old. And so he came right when Eastwood won it, actually the year after. But then he had three of the players to coach, so that's all he heard about was this 76 Eastwood team.
The great thing is that you have most of the team and the coaches on film telling their story. And this is, I imagine, a bit of a challenge compared to your Juarez films where you had lots of footage of what was happening over in Juarez, but now going back almost 40 years, most of this tale is told by these people recounting their lives and the moments. And so you sort of follow along chronologically, mm-hmm. the viewer, with the story, and it's still quite riveting.
You know, Chuck, this was one of the most difficult films I ever made because of footage, like you said earlier. I mean, we're talking 1976. We went crazy trying to get – we put an ad in the El Paso Times, I mean, saying, hey, we need footage. And disappointingly, we didn't hear back from hardly anyone. So this was sort of a mini miracle getting this thing to feature length between 80 and 90 minutes. But we did reach that goal. Yeah, but at the end – and we were able to get just enough to get the movie out there.
When you start a documentary project, are there other documentary filmmakers or films that you are your touchstone that you go back or you look at, say, a bunch of sports documentaries to kind of, you know, tune yourself up or really get inspired of how to craft the tale?
Yeah, well, there are two really well-known documentary filmmakers. That's, of course, Ken Burns and Michael mm-hmm. Moore. They tend to pick different subjects than I do. But what I do is I really adhere to a really strict outline. And in my case, usually with true crime is what I usually do. I need three major components, and that's file video, mm-hmm. Interview with victims, and interview with law enforcement. And if I have those three elements, then I have a film. In this case, with the Eastwood Project, there was hardly any film. The 70s was not exactly a video era. So we were able to get just enough video of the Final Four games and also the Hobbs Invitational when Eastwood won that tournament in New Mexico, which is impossible to win. And we were able to get interviews, which was critical. I've probably interviewed more people in this film than any other film I've ever made. We have, I think, around 30 people interviewed in the movie. Eastwood grads from the 70s and, of course, most of the players, coaches. We have a lot of people in this film, and I think when an El Pasoan goes see this movie, they're going to say, oh, wow, I remember that person, mm-hmm. or wow, look at how they look now. I mean, just right. This is going down memory lane in a way.
Well, again, as not a sports fan, you know, I got excited to – you know the outcome, of course, the championship's coming, but just to hear all of these players sort of so many years later, the fire in their voices and their eyes and recounting as if it was yesterday – you know, that win, and you mentioned the big Hobbs win, which began sort of a streak that led all the way to the state where this undefeatable Hobbs team, they went up there and beat.
Yeah, nobody beats Hobbs and Hobbs. They had a legendary coach in Ralph Tasker. They've won 16 state titles. Of course, it's a lot easier to win a state title in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. There's far less teams, but there's a running joke. You go to Hobbs, and you're already down by 30 before the game begins. So they not only beat Hobbs, they embarrassed him. And one of their players at the end of the game, Jim Bowden, had fouled out. And on his way to the bench, the Hobbs crowd gave him a standing ovation.
Amazing.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
And then, just to prove it wasn't a fluke, Hobbs went to Eastwood a couple of weeks later and got beat even worse. So Eastwood got him twice that year, and they were never invited back to the Hobbs Invitational. After that, after the 76 season, Hobbs said, we can't be having another team come into our house, our gym, and embarrass us.
You mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, this has never really been repeated, an El Paso basketball team going all the way to state and winning the championship, and perhaps never will. It's addressed in the film, too. And I mean, what are some of the reasons why you think or your interviewees think that it just can't happen again?
Well, Nolan Richardson pointed it out. There's just so many teams now. He talked about how Bowie way back when had a large talent pool, and then Jefferson came in. Mm-hmm. Jefferson was built, and they stole a lot of the athletes away. In the case of Eastwood, I believe it was Hanks came in. Or another high school came in. So that's what happens.
So it was a moment in time when Eastwood was an enormous school back then and able to grab a lot of students, and within those students had their pick of basketball.
They had 4,000 students in 1976. 4,000. Now they have 2,000. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening now. There's so many high schools. The talent pool thins out. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's become so difficult for an El Paso high school to break through.
Good timing. We've got basketball season coming to a close and a lot of championships happening right now. Your film is playing at Premier Cinemas for at least a week engagement. Is that right?
Yes. It opened last night, and we had a great turnout, and we hope it continues. This is an El Paso film. I don't want to just specify to Eastwood. Of course, mm-hmm. the Eastwood basketball team is the big thing here, but this is for the city of El Paso. And from what I hear, the city really came together in 1976, a golden era, and the city took it as their title, not Eastwood's title, but their title.
Right. And also that Don Haskins is floating behind all of this. I can imagine that Coach Leslie, you know, was still being mentored by him. And you make the point in the film that one of the reasons they excelled as they went up the championship is that so many of the plays and moves that and patterns the team ran were just unheard of at that time, were so revolutionary. And I can imagine that Leslie, that's the impact of Haskins on Leslie.
Yeah, you could almost say that Don Haskins had a hand in Eastwood's title. I mean, that's the influence the Bear had in this city. And this is probably the first film since Glory Road where the 66 title is talked about in as much detail. So, like I said, this is a film for the city of El Paso.
Mm-hmm. Do you have plans beyond the region for this?
Well, I have to sit down with my producers. I mean, usually, you know, the money people are the ones who control so much. And right now we're just concentrating on the El Paso run, and then we'll look and see if it's marketable elsewhere.
Yeah, I guess you've also got the underdog element to it that people love. Even if they're outside of El Paso and know nothing about El Paso,
right.
I think people would enjoy the film just from that aspect, you know, being way out here in the corner of Texas and going central and beating all those central teams.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people believe that that's what put El Paso high schools on the map, it was that 76 title run by Eastwood.
Was there anybody that you couldn't get for the film that you just really wanted? I know you've got most of the team, the two main coaches, a lot of sports writers and members of the athletic department here at UTEP in the film.
Yeah, I got very lucky, and with the help of Jim Bowden, who's the executive producer of the film. Jim's dad was the athletic director at UTEP at one time, back then Texas Western. And
now
father,
one of the finest orthodontists in town.
Yeah, every time I turn around, someone tells me, Jim is my dentist, or no, my kids go to Jim,
right.
Is what I hear. But Jim Bowden did a great job. If it wasn't for him, the movie wouldn't have gotten made. He was on the 76 team. He went to play at UTEP. And, of course, like I said, his dad used to be the athletic director. His dad was also a great football player as well at UTEP. And as I mentioned, we got Tim Floyd, Mary Haskins, Nolan Richardson. We got just about all the players. I can't think of one person that I would have loved to have had in the film that I didn't. I mean, this is rare. I mean, like I said, we had more people interviewed in this film than I could ever remember of any of the films that I've made.
Well, congratulations again, Charlie, for getting this done. And you certainly preserved an important part of El Paso's history. So glad we could have you back on the show.
Thank you.
I've been discussing the new documentary March of the Troopers with director Charlie Minn. March of the Troopers documents the historic 1976 Eastwood High School basketball team and the details of its Texas State Championship. The film received its world premiere last night at Premier Cinemas at Bassett Place and is playing for a week at the theater. Charlie Minn will be at the theater this weekend, and some of his previous films will be for sale. A final program note, the Film Salon at Trinity First will screen Busby Berkeley's 1943 musical comedy Girl Crazy tonight at 7:30 p.m. The film stars Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney and is the third film to be presented by the Film Salon as part of its Busby Berkeley focus. The Film Salon meets at Trinity First United Methodist Church, located at 801 North Mesa, and all screenings are free. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.